Okay, so the other day, Jeannie and I had the opportunity to be with the Barnharts. I think Tricia was with us. And, you know, I think most of you know that they're going to be moving to Oklahoma. So they're getting things ready, and they got, well, Tricia's going to Texas.
Yeah.
My goodness.
We'll pray for you, Tricia.
Well, I think there's a wonderful bond with those in Texas and Oklahoma, right? Rivalry. Yeah. And then Sam's going to Las Vegas, Nevada, so the whole household will be moving. But we were moving things and getting things organized. And, boy, it's interesting when you do that. I recently looked in my attic, or not my attic, my semi-basement, I guess you would call it, underneath the house, and you find stuff that you haven't seen for a while. And I know Barney's found some things that that caught his interest. And some of these things really reminded me of some great truths in God's Word. And the first thing that really hit me, as I was looking into a trunk, I saw these medals. And these medals are medals where rewards are ribbons that my dad won or earned during World War II. So not like he's got the Medal of the Congressional Medal of Honor or anything else like that. Some of these are like participation medals. He was in the South Pacific for 3.5 years, and I think he was able to come back one time. And my mother was pregnant with my brother, and she had him, and he was 2 years old for the first time my dad saw him. So a lot of things went on during that time. What do they call that generation? The greatest generation? Yeah, what a sacrifice that they experienced. But, you know, it got me thinking about my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And in God's Word, it talks about rewards for service. You know, when you're born again of God's Spirit, you have eternal life. I mean, that's reward enough, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to be forever with the Heavenly Father. And that in itself is fantastic. But he also talks about rewards for our faithful service, what we do for him now before that great gathering together. And I was thinking of some of these great verses. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And that judgment seat is a seat of rewards. You know, we've already been judged in Christ, and Jesus Christ is faithful, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So that's why we have that eternal life. But there's going to be a time when we're gathered together that we will be rewarded for all the good things we do for our Heavenly Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor." So we sow the Word of God, right? We talk to people. Like what we do at Agape Now in Ocean Beach, we go there, we pray for people, we hand out water, and we're sowing a lot of seeds. And for some people, maybe they're already Christians. They say, "Hey, I'm a believer." And we have a great visit. We build them up. And so that's doing a little watering, I guess, huh? So these kind of things will get us wonderful rewards from our Heavenly Father. "Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it talks about crowns. And in verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." So we get these rewards, and they last forever. I mean, these things are getting a little dirty and dusty and tarnished and things like that, you know. I don't know, as a kid, we've got Little League rewards, you know, because we participated or something. But how long do those rewards last? You know, they get broken or lost. But the wonderful rewards that we receive from our Heavenly Father will last a long time. So I was thankful I had an opportunity to think about these great things. Barney, what about you, brother?
Yeah, that's awesome, Bob. I brought a couple of things along. You know, when you're moving or purging or learning to travel light, burning the chaff, we used to call it, you run into things and stumble into things that maybe you've saved that kind of provoke a memory, or you're like, I never would want to get rid of that. As you can see, I'm left-handed, and that's really a good thing. Anybody else left-handed in here? Mike McNair. What's your name? Josh, what's your friend's name?
Mike.
Mike? Micah. And Claudia, you're left-handed? Okay.
Although I'm
ambidextrous. Okay. She's ambidextrous. Anyway, and so I've kept this and held on to it for quite a number of years, and you know, I think it does hold some fond memories to me, but it also symbolizes something, because you do a number of things with this this love and this ball, right? What would you think the primary purpose of a holding or having and wearing a glove would be?
To
catch the ball, right? I mean, is that a pretty simple concept? This is one example of the ball. There are other types of balls, obviously. Anybody here ever play baseball of any type? Number of hands, softball, women's softball. Guys, we played minor league, little league, pony league. Some of us played in high school. Some of us went on and played
football
in college. We're not talking about football here. But, you know, like Bob mentioned, let's make an analogy, shall we? You know, when you are engaged and involved in the things of God, you really want to be able to throw strikes, right? Wouldn't that be the purpose of any good pitcher? I mean, first of all, you want to be able to throw strikes, and then you want to be able to hit strikes, right? Well, I kind of relate that to our fellowship with God. You know, the best place for us to be in our lives is in this undisturbed place of fellowship with God. That is number uno, priority number one, that we're thankful for this fellowship that we have with God. There are a lot of distractions that we have in this world. Amen?
Amen.
But it's still available for us to redefine our area, kind of like a pitcher or a catcher, anybody. A pitcher practices very diligently to get the balls consistently where? In the what zone? In the strike zone. People get paid millions of dollars to throw a ball that looks very similar to this one into a very defined space. Amen? You know what? For us, we can practice the things of God. We stay in touch with God. We talk to God. We ask God. We beseech God. You know, the verses that say, keep on knocking, keep on asking, keep on seeking. That is a great definition of somebody who has a great desire to want to really manifest the things of God and walk by the Spirit of God. And, you know, it's a simple thing, but it shows a really great desire. Like any great athlete does one thing, right? McNair's. Bubba actually was in the state finals last night in basketball. And this is Mike's son. Believe it or not, he has a very similar name. What's your son's name, Mike? What's your son's name?
Mike.
Okay. Mike McNair has a son named Mike McNair. Okay. But he had 28 points in the final game of the state championship in their division. You know what? That doesn't come by just lying in bed and sleeping till noon every day. It comes by way of practice. Just like throwing the balls and strikes. Just like walking with God. It's practice. Practice. Day after day, we get up. Okay, God, here we go again. I'm glad you're on my team. I'm glad you're working with me here. Regardless of how yesterday went, we're still locked in. Amen?
Amen. Yeah. you know, one thing we want to practice, we want to practice a source. Of course, every sport has a rule book, right? And you can't fudge on that, right? If you don't do it by the rules, it doesn't count, doesn't work. But as born-again Christians, we have as our rule book the Word of God, don't we? And as I was looking through my stuff, I found this little Bible, this little guy here. And, you know, it's Father's Day, so I'm connecting with my dad a little bit and my Heavenly Father. But this is very precious to me because my dad had this on his person all the time when he was in the South Pacific, World War II.
Wow.
And my mom gave this to me. My dad passed in 90-something, I can't remember, and my 94. And my mom gave this. I did not know my dad had this until my mom gave this to me. And she wrote a little note, a little letter to me as she gave this to me. And she said, "Dear Bob," this is July 9th, 2002. "Dear Bob, I trust you will appreciate this pocket Bible given to your dad, Lieutenant H.E. Linfeldt, USMC. Before he left for the South Pacific during World War II, my mother, Myrtle Dawn Furbish, your grandmother, gave it to him. He carried it throughout the war years and returned it with it just a few days before VJ Day, you know, when Victory Day was declared." So pretty special, huh?
Yeah.
And this is the Word of God. In this little New Testament, it has Psalms and Proverbs in here. There's a letter from the President of the United States. Now, who was the President during World War II? History buffs.
Roosevelt and Truman.
Yeah. Franklin, Roosevelt, and Truman at the very end. And there's a little note here. I'd like to share this with you. "As Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces of the United States. Throughout the centuries, men of many faiths and diverse origins have found in the sacred book words of wisdom, counsel, and inspiration. It is a fountain of strength and now, as always, an aid in attaining the highest aspirations of the human soul." Isn't that something? You know, there's nothing like God's Word, right? It's got to be our foundation. It's what really works. Hebrews 4:12, "For the Word of God is what? Quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." That's God's Word. Isn't that amazing? You know, Job said that the Word of God was his necessary food. Isn't that neat? Jesus said in John 10:35, "The Scripture cannot be broken." You know, man's word, just can't depend on it all the time. But God's not a man that he what? Should lie. He doesn't lie. He tells the truth. He tells the truth. I love James 3:17 and 18. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace." Now that's the wonderful Word of God. Proverbs 6:22 and 23, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." So we got to get our head in the Word, huh? So we hear God's Word talk to us. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fades, but the Word of God shall stand forever." Forever. So, boy, I'm so thankful that I have God's Word as a foundation of truth. It is the truth. It's great stuff. Well, Barney, what else you got there?
It's more like a tennis game, isn't it? We kind of just batting it back and forth.
Well, as life would have it,
I stumbled into some old photos of myself. Amazing, huh? Here's another one. I'm really not trying to show you how good looking I was back then. But, hey, what can you say? I mean, you know, they are kind of cute, right? They are kind of cute. Yeah, exactly. Gray hair. Joe, what that made me think of, and especially in light of what Bob said, and I'll really try to keep it together here. I never knew my father. I don't know if there's anyone else in this area who could say that. You know, I was adopted. My mom was 16 years old when I was born. And I never met my father, so I still have never met him. I don't really have any history about him. And so it caused quite a turbulence, I think, in my heart and life, growing up, being a teenager, and that sort of thing. Although I had a wonderful adopted father and mother. They were very wonderful people, but there was still kind of a disconnect there. And for many of you who have met my mom, which I reconnected with her in 2007 or 8, I think. She's just a wonderful believer, and her father was a minister, so it was a very difficult decision for her in 1952 to give up a baby. But her father was a minister in a small town, and any of you who grew up in the 50s or the 60s know that that wasn't a very cool thing to have happen, a preacher's daughter. But what it has brought to my heart, and I think one of the greatest verses that comes to mind right now, and I'll just grab my Bible real quick. Is in 1 John chapter 3. You know, all I think that many people, myself included, were looking for was love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called, what? Sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So whether or not you ever even knew who your earthly father was, one day God called us to the point that we would know him as our heavenly father. And I'll tell you, that's probably the most important relationship that we have. We have been called by God to be in a relationship with him, and we're part of a wonderful family where we have brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters from another mother, you know, we would say jokingly. But we have the same father. Spiritually, we're united. All is one. One mind, one heart, one soul, one strength. And this is better than the three musketeers, right? One for all for one. We're in the same body. And it takes effort and energy, like any relationship, to really keep it unified and really keep it together. So each and every one of us have a role. Keep our minds renewed. Do our best to walk by the Spirit of God. Stay in connection with God and love one another.
Well, the last thing I picked up was a little photograph. And really, I've had this on my desk for a while. And I showed a couple of you already what it is. Obviously, no one here can see it, even you guys on the photo. But this is a picture of my last basketball game in high school. Now, I played basketball in Northern Virginia, Robert E. Lee High School. They changed the name, so everything's okay. And so we were the Lancers, and we came in eighth in our league. There were like 25 teams, and the top eight play in the playoffs. So we were number eight. Guess who we played?
Number one.
And they thrashed us. It was my worst game I've ever I fouled out before the second half, I think. It was ridiculous. But so here I am, one of my teammates shooting the ball and looking to get hopefully an offensive rebound, or even better yet, he makes the shot and we go back and play defense. But there's a great view of the crowd. I mean, it's packed gym. And as I look at all these people, hundreds of people, there's one man that's standing up. My father. He stood with me, even though we were getting thrashed. He was cheering me on. It was pretty neat. Pretty neat. We've got a Heavenly Father that's like that and much, much better, right? He stands with us. Boy, I think great segue with what Barney said, having a relationship with our Heavenly Father. God that created the heavens and the earth, He is our Father. He's our Dad. If we could really grab onto that, we could have a great relationship with Him. Not just on Sunday, but day in, day out. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Let me share a couple of verses. In 2 Timothy 4:16 and 17, Paul, this is kind of at the end of Paul's ministry, and he makes this comment here as recorded in God's Word. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know, Paul had a great relationship with God Almighty, our Heavenly Father. In Hebrews 13:5-6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a triple negative in the Greek. Very rare usage in the Bible where there's a triple negative. But here it is in this verse here, and it's emphasizing that God's never, ever going to leave us or forsake us. He's going to stand with us. I don't know if you remember the manifestations. The manifestations talked about that God would stand with us. I was so blessed when I heard that manifestation. Phenomenal how God works in fellowships, huh? It's really neat. And then verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear, but man shall do unto me. Why? Because we've got a Heavenly Father that stands with us no matter what we're doing. If we're moving to Texas or anywhere, Oklahoma or Kenya, whatever. We've got a God that loves us. He's our Father. He takes care of us all the time, every time. So, Barney, I think you got something else. Huh?
All right. I get to bring out all the sporting equipment. But for those of you who can't see it, this is an older wood that is made out of wood that people rarely play with anymore. Generally, these woods were made out of, this is a three wood. This is normally made out of a persimmon. And this particular club, like a pitcher hitting into a zone, has one particular purpose. Guess what that might be? Hitting the ball. Anybody in here ever tried to play golf? Anybody play golf? I do. We do try. You know, my dad and mom, that's one thing that they really enjoyed doing together is they played golf. And as a youngster, they tried to get me to be more inclined to play golf. I was not into it. I did not have the patience. I did not see the intelligence of the game or anything else about it. So I was very, I guess, rebellious and resistant to trying to spend a Sunday afternoon on the golf course while all my other friends were out riding their bikes and playing football and playing baseball. And there I was being drug out to the country club.
at 8 and 9 years old. Now I wish I would have done it. You know, and that's where a lot of these golfers start today. They start so young. 8 is older to start. We're like 4, 5, 6 years old. They don't get as good as they are at the U.S. Open today just by starting last week. Although sometimes we have the expectation that we should be that good. You know, we don't play pool very often, but boy, when we go, we expect to run the table every time, right? And we get frustrated with ourselves because of that. But as life has evolved and it's gone on, I have picked up playing golf, and I do find it much more enjoyable kind of as a stress reliever because I don't find myself being overly competitive with myself or throwing my clubs in the water or, you know, breaking them over my knee or whatever. And there are there are personalities involved in all games, including golf, where that sort of thing happens. They just get so frustrated because they're so ultra competitive. But one of the great principles I think that you do learn in golf is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Because golf, like many things in life, you have to put the bad shots behind you and not rest on your laurels of the success of the past either. Because that is a formula that does not work well. You have to just take life as it comes, put your best foot forward. If it doesn't work out exactly the way you determine and think it should based on your expectations, then you know what? You regroup and you move forward. That following verse says, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is life defined. If you live in the past, you will be miserable. Guaranteed. I don't care if it's because you made $1 million 10 years ago. You know what you can think about? 10 years ago. Well, what about now? Oh, you're broke now. You had to declare bankruptcy. Well, hey, you know what? The future's bright. We can't live back there. We can't live, you know, in front of us. And we can't worry about it either. It's like that quote, Corrie Ten Boom. Worry is like an old man carrying a load of feathers, thinking it's a load of lead. See? Worry is like paying money on interest you never receive. It's like sitting in a rocking chair and never going anywhere. It is wasted time and energy. Anxiety is a killer. It is behind so many physical problems that people have because they're just nervous. They're just uptight. They're anxious. You got to step back from that. I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't understand everything there is to understand in life, but one thing I do know is profitable. Don't base your future and your life today on what's happened in the past to you. If you've been a success, great. If you've been a failure, great too. Because you know what? You realize you need God. Because we all need God, success or failure. It's the only way. And we press. We move on. We get over ourselves. And the condemnation that comes with failure and negatives and mistakes and things that you can't go back and change anyway. So it's kind of like the old saying, you know, get over your bad self. You made a mistake? Okay, well, God still loves you. And you can move forward. Be more determined to press towards the mark. Somehow that word press seems to indicate some sort of internal desire to really make a deliberate decision to move forward and not just be stuck. And these are just the cards that have been dealt. And this is what's happened in my life. And woe is me. You determine, are you going to be a victim or are you going to be a victor? Because there's only one person here who will decide that, and that's you. You can't make someone else responsible for the way that you are today. That's called Freudian psychology. See? someone else is responsible for the way I am. That is a bold-faced lie from the pit of you-know-where that the devil has very wonderfully, ugly moved into culture. Be responsible and take accountability. If you practice playing golf or whatever else it may be, you will get better. You will achieve. You will see success. And I may never be at the U.S. Open, but I can press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because that's way more important to me than playing golf. Amen. Golf has nothing to do with my life. It's just an activity that I do. And the same thing's true with a lot of things that we do. Music, sports, all these things. They're all peripheral things, guys. Unfortunately, people don't realize that until a loved one passes away or they're going through something really serious and then they realize there are more important things in life than, you know, what sometimes I think are so important. And so it's a real reality check. And that's the beautiful thing about being able to be together in places like this and do fellowships like this, that we're iron sharpens iron. It helps us to kind of reset, regroup, reprioritize if need be, so that we can allow our lives to flourish and that we become givers. Givers. Love is giving. Love is not taking and receiving. Why nothing good happens to me? My question would be, what are you giving? What are you giving out? Is it all based on what you receive and I'll receive, therefore I give? How about you give and therefore you receive? See? So a lot of things, you know, obviously stirred up in our hearts here this morning as we've kind of had this review of some of the things we've gone through. But we got to move on. We got to keep moving. See, because if we just stand still, we become a target. And no one likes to be a target, right? It's unfortunate if you hit somebody playing golf or somebody gets hit in the head with baseball or one of these other things. Those things do happen. Maybe you've been hit by certain things. You've been wounded. Well, that's unfortunate. I'm sorry that that's happened. But you can't allow that to stop you from continuing to move forward. Somehow Jesus, God was able to give Jesus the joy that enabled him to continue to endure. And I think if God can do that for Jesus facing the cross, that maybe you and I could get through a day where we're being a little challenged by one or two little things. You know what I mean? Maybe in your world it's a huge thing. Maybe you're facing some sort of health crisis, cancer. See? But cancer is just a word. But God's a lot bigger than cancer. God's a lot bigger than a lot of things. God's a lot bigger than everything. See? It's just the weight that we all put on things that the world says are one thing or another. So anyway, I know I'm preaching to hear Bob, but the press words are marked for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Today's a new day. Today's a new beginning. Doesn't matter what's happened to you in your past. Boy, if you've ever heard Joyce Meyer teach God's word, you know what? She had a horrendous upbringing. Father abused her sexually. All sorts of things going on. But you know what? She's used that as a place to be able to move forward. Amen? And that's what our lives are like. We just keep moving forward. Amen? All right. God bless you.
All right. Well, things to think about, huh? Great things to think about. Well, we'll close out here, and we've got some chicken, some other goodies. That'll be over here on the table, so we'll let you know when that's ready and enjoy, have sweet fellowship one with another. I brought the bocce balls. The Woods will challenge anybody. They're the champs. Yeah. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for the richness of your love and grace that you've extended toward us. Thank you for being such a wonderful Father, that we can trust in you, that we can believe you, we can stand on your word, Father, and know you will come through with this every time, all the time. So I pray for your people here, for continuing to bless them and work with them, that we can continue to grow and be our best for you, Father. Thank you for the food we're about to eat here that will bless our physical bodies and for a sweet fellowship with you and with one another. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Bless your heart.